Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you. NFL free agency beginning next week. And it's a very interesting time in the National Football League right now. To help us talk about that and more, we welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Charles, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
We are really good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. We heard you're a big fan of the Rex Rant. Rex Rant is becoming a part of your everyday listening habits.
I try to check in to see what Joe's irritated about. I'm actually with him on this one, though. I don't know why we're still doing this thing with Marvin Harrison Jr., man. I'm at the Combine, and, you know, Harrison Jr. blows off his meet and greet. It's not even meet and greet. He just had a pre-planned, you know, a scheduled press appearance, right? He doesn't do that. Just like he didn't do anything else. And, you know, you could see a lot of guys are irritated. They thought at least, you know, we're going to get a chance to sit there and talk to him. And I was talking to a GM, and, you know, he made a really good point where he's just like, of all the guys who sat out and didn't do anything, and he said, look, okay, you can gripe about the missed scheduled media appearance. Like, I get that. He said, but of everything else, he said, we've been watching this guy so closely for so long now. He's like, there's nowhere to go for him but down. Anything he does where someone else has some kind of edge on him is going to be perceived as slippage. So let's say he goes out and he runs a 4.5 40. People are going to look at him and go, oh my gosh, you know, look at Worthy ran a 4.21, or, you know, Adunze ran this, or, you know, go down the laundry list of the wide receivers all ran fast. They all ran the 4.3s, or, you know, let's say he drops the pass in the gauntlet. Oh my God, Ladd McConkey was perfect in the gauntlet, or this player was, you know, he basically just said, you know, we've gone to last year's pro day at Ohio State. We all stared at him instead of, you know, all these other players we could have been looking at. We're buzzing about C.J. Stroud, but we're buzzing as much about Marvin Harrison Jr. So we've been waiting on this guy basically since his freshman season, his first, you know, breakout year at Ohio State. And he's like, it's just there's no good part of the process that doesn't create a conversation about how someone else is going to leapfrog him. And, you know, so he's like, I understand. He said, it's just not a great process when you're a player that's locked into the top five the way that he is and has been for so long. After a while, people get sick of seeing him. And by the way, the people that are out there talking about him just being great because of Peyton Manning or whatever, go back to when Peyton Manning was getting drafted and go back to the conversation about, I don't know, man, Ryan Leaf. I don't know. Maybe Ryan Leaf's the guy you really want. Like Peyton Manning, it was the same deal.
I said.
People got sick and tired of breaking down Peyton Manning and how he was going to be this great can't-miss quarterback, and they got, you know, enamored with the shiny new object in Ryan Leaf. And obviously that went terribly for, a litany of different decisions or reasons, but Peyton Manning was Marvin Harrison Jr. when Peyton Manning was at Tennessee. He was so good for so long. After a while, people found reasons to nitpick. He could never beat, you know, Florida. You know, just too many big games where we never won a national championship. I mean, look at the Heisman race. There are people still in Tennessee pissed off about the Heisman race because he lost to obviously Charles Woodson. And people think the reason why that happened, some people, I mean, you want to talk about voters, will tell you it's because people just got tired of going over and over with Peyton Manning every single season about, you know, he's a shoo-in to win the Heisman this year. And then you'd find reasons to not vote him. So there is such a thing as fatigue with top-end college prospects, particularly when they've been the complete package for a number of years, and that's Marvin Harrison Jr. You're going to knock him for it now. I mean, go ahead and do it, but he's still going to be, I think, in my opinion, a great NFL player.
So I'll play the devil's advocate on the other side of that, because I really don't like the missing the media session. I think that's lame.
I didn't say I liked that. I'm not saying I liked it. I'm just saying, and part of the reason why the conversation occurs is because I'm like, you know, I had brought up to a number of guys, I'd said it's hilarious to me, and I ended up writing about this. I'm like, how many times am I going to have to watch this NFL Network commercial about the combine that has a bunch of guys that have nothing to do with the combine?
Right.
I like the top, you know, you got the top three, you know, quarterbacks aren't doing anything. The top two wide receivers aren't doing anything. I'm sitting there waiting for Brock Bowers to step to the line in the 40, and then I'm like, why is he not stepping to the line in the 40? So, no, he's not going to run. Okay, great. He's not doing anything. No, I mean, I'm frustrated with guys not doing anything, but, you know, it's not a first. There are a lot of guys that don't throw. There are a lot of guys that don't do things. The media thing bothers me because, you know, it's an ability for you to step up and just answer a question, you know, some level of accountability. And I'll give you an example. When during the combine, a very popular thing this year amongst those individuals who didn't do anything, they would get in front of teams and they would grill them on, okay, who made this decision? A lot of teams want to hear players say, it was my decision. One theme that is getting stronger and stronger every year when guys opt not to do things is teams don't want to hear you sit down and in front of them and then go, well, it was a group decision between me and my guys or my team or this or that. Teams don't want to hear that. They think that's total BS. They want to hear you take accountability and go, I'm the one who made the decision. Yeah, I'm the one who, you know, looked at this process and here's why and lay it out, and not spread the blame out amongst three or four different people. I can tell teams are definitely getting annoyed with hearing that answer. So when Marvin doesn't, you know, meet with the media and, you know, get asked questions, it bothers us. I don't think it bothers teams as much. And from a historical perspective too, you and I both know, and anybody who covered the league long enough, Marvin Harrison did not talk to me. He's not a media guy. Not like talking to the media. Didn't like talking to the media in the locker room. Didn't like talking to the media on the podiums. So I don't know if that's the apple not falling far from the tree in this respect. But, yeah, I mean, that to me was probably the one missed opportunity. And I know I'm biased as a reporter saying this, but to stand up there and do like Caleb Williams did and every other guy and say, here's why I'm not doing it. There's a rationale behind it. I'll say this, though. He did walk into weights and measures, right? And then Jaden Daniels, I think teams are shocked. He just no-showed it. Just didn't show up. He was like, yeah, no, I'm going to go ahead. I'm not going to get measured. Nothing. And I think the day that happened, there were some teams pretty upset because they're like, oh, okay, now you're a quarterback who's in the middle of this trio and, you know, you're just not going to show up and even let us measure you at this event. We're not even going to get any idea what your actual, you know, numbers are. And I think there was an element too of a number of teams not having any idea that was going to happen. I actually think that's worse than not talking to the media. Stepping out there and saying, yeah, I'm supposed to be your franchise quarterback, maybe the number two pick in the draft, but I'm going to go ahead and not tell you what I weigh, how tall I am, like nothing. I'm not going to let you know anything about me until my pro day. And we'll see if it happens there too, by the way. I think there's even a question about whether he'll go through it at the pro day.
Pretty good stuff. We'll have more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, continuing our conversation with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. So, Charles, we were discussing this the other day. Titans are at pick number 7 right now in the first round, and you've got a really interesting kind of stretch behind them, basically from 11 to 14, with teams that could be in need of a quarterback, be that Minnesota, Denver, Vegas, and a lot of talk about J.J. McCarthy after his performance at the Combine. So what do you think of the hype surrounding J.J. McCarthy, and do you think the Titans could be in good position to potentially deal that pick if a team wants to jump ahead of the Atlanta Falcons?
You know, I mean, it's really interesting. He's definitely the ceiling projection, right? When you talk to anybody about evaluating a prospect, you know, the ceiling projections are always the super dangerous ones, because you're sitting there and you're going, okay, there's something limited here in the profile, and there's an element of us having to find, you know, figure out where we think he can go in the future. That's definitely JJ, because, you know, Michigan, this idea that Michigan didn't lean on him to win games just simply is not true. It's just they didn't lean on him to throw a ton to win games. That didn't mean he wasn't doing other things to help them win football games. And, if you watched, you know, go watch the national championship game, go watch the game against Alabama, and you'll see him make, you know, some really key plays and key moments. I mean, it was a third or fourth down play where he took off running against Alabama that I think they don't win the national championship without him, you know, converting it. And it was an insane moment where I looked at it and I was like, okay, that's NFL teams are going to look at that and go, okay, he absolutely had to pull something out right there for them to be able to continue this drive and ultimately win this game. And, you know, so there's those element of intangibles. He did great in the interviews when I talked to some teams. That didn't surprise me. I mean, limited frames, you're sitting there for 18 minutes with guys. You know, I think he did really well in that respect. But the private workouts are the things that I think a lot of teams are going to use to separate, you know, is he really potentially pushing himself above Drake May? I'm in the I'll believe it when I see it camp. Like, Drake May was the guy who I thought during the combine process I thought was getting negged more than anybody else. Like, just a lot of, you know, well, is he really that accurate downfield? Does he always make the right decisions? Yeah, he's making completions, but it's always not the top completion on the board. At times his interception luck is a little higher than you'd like, all these different things. And, you know, but he's another one of these guys where people have been staring at him now for, you know, he had the breakout year, and then all last season they expected big things. And there was really, he's one of those kind of nowhere to go but down sort of types. And, you know, but I do think the heat for McCarthy is real. I do. When I asked, coming out of the combine, I asked a bunch of different scouts and GMs and personnel types. I said, help me shape up now where the quarterbacks are. And everybody said the same thing. It's definitely four first round guys. There's no doubt that McCarthy is in that mix. Everybody seemed to agree he's, you know, top half of the first round somewhere. And then the argument really had turned into, like, where does Bo Nix fit? Where does Michael Penix fit? I think if the Titans want to trade back at their spot, they're going to have opportunities. I really do. I think unless May slips, and that could happen, you know, there are a couple of teams in that mix that you mentioned where you kind of know if they don't work something out in free agency. For example, one of them that's dead in that mix, I said, okay, look, you're going to have, you know, you get this quarterback need. You got to do something. You can't just expect somebody's going to be there at your spot. And this person actually said to me, they're like, I don't know, maybe May gets to us. Like, there's a chance that, but, you know, I think once the third quarterback comes off the board, that whole mix of teams that does not address things in free agency, and maybe even if one does, like, let's say Kirk goes somewhere, or let's say Russ lands somewhere or whatever, I don't know that they'll look at that player as necessarily being a long-term option at the position. And McCarthy is actually a guy I could see a team taking and redshirting for a year. And I don't think it'll be the two-year redshirt, but I could definitely see a team taking him, having a pretty solid option at quarterback for a year, and feeling like 2025 is when they'll roll him out on the field. But the Titans, there'll be value, I think, at seven, as long as the third quarterback goes off in front of them.
Yeah. Now, McCarthy's a great athlete, big arm. I do wonder sometimes if he sees it fast enough, but it is hard,
sure,
because they're so dominant up front. But, I mean, I think he's a first-round talent, and I think the redshirt year makes sense. Okay, well, you just touched on it, so I want you to summon all your powers and tell us right now where Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, and Justin Fields will be playing next year.
Oh, come on, man.
Come on. We're going to hold you to it.
This is completely ridiculous. Yeah, let me I would.
You have educated guesses. You have educated guesses.
Look, I think Kirk, like, Atlanta does make some sense to me with Kirk, because the roster is in such a good state now. And it really is a team that I think a veteran could come in, and as long as it's a veteran that could come in and play at a high level and they feel like they can trust, and especially in that division, that very easily could be like a 10, maybe 11-win team next season. They have a lot of talent. It's a relatively soft division, particularly if, let's say, Tampa Bay doesn't have a quarterback. It's just a situation where Atlanta is in that kind of middle. They're in that middle ground where if they go in to get a rookie now, it's like, all right, great, we can groom with some of these young guys, but we do have a solid roster. So, I will not rule out, I'm telling you, I will not rule out, even though I think it's probably less than a 20% chance now that he returns to Minnesota, only because I think Kevin O'Connell really wants him back. It's just a situation where, as I told you guys last week, the front office just doesn't want to commit the money, the guaranteed money. Kirk has been a secure the bag guy. And I do think there's, I don't want to say there's bad blood at this point, but I do think there's probably a little bit of frustration that as much as the head coach likes Kirk, they weren't able to get at least like a 2-year deal done. But maybe Kirk's market's a little softer than people think. Russell Wilson is going to be the weird one. I'm telling you right now, he's going to be weird because I think there's going to be interest there for him, but I don't know that anybody looks at Russ and sees him as anything but a bridge starter at this stage. I could be completely wrong here. Watch someone come out and sign him to first off, whatever deal he signs, at least up front, is going to be a vet minimum, I would assume, because he's already getting paid by Denver.
What, 39 mil? It's like that 39 mil from the Broncos, right?
Yeah. He's going to go ahead and keep cashing those checks. And whatever team, you know, brings him aboard is going to take advantage of that. But I look out there and I'm just like, how many teams out here are really wanting to go out, sign him, everything that comes along with him, and then where do they go with the young piece if he's going to be a bridge starter for them? It's tough for me. I look at Washington because Dan Quinn knows him, right? Like you tend to look out and you go, okay, who has connections with him around the league? Who has the quarterback need? Another thing I would not rule out is maybe he's like when Tannehill came to Tennessee. It's a situation like that where it's, hey, you know, not a ton of interest in him around the league. He does kind of feel like an interesting fit at this point. He definitely seems to have something left in the tank. Maybe he goes somewhere where he feels like he can compete, lock the job up in year one, and then all of a sudden the team's like, hey, you got more left than we thought. Let's make sure we keep you around for a few more years. I could see that. That to me almost feels like it's a more appetizing situation for him than just going somewhere where they have a quarterback hole and there's a little bit of desperation. I don't know that's necessarily the greatest fit for him. So that's my way of not really answering your question. And Fields, well, come on, man, stick it with you. Like, will you stop it? Like, I don't.
Well, again, I knew he'd be the tough one. But I'm interested in Fields. Who really – Fields is fascinating to me, you know? Like, he's talented. I think he's good. But, like, who's committing to that? Who's giving up much for that?
You know what he is? He really reminds me of I feel like he's in that spot right now. He reminds me a little of, like, Jordan Love in the middle of last season where we're like – okay, you know, all right, we've seen some stuff. Like, he looks, feels like he's moving in the right direction, but it's still probably, you know, he's still doing some things that are problematic. Where is the development going? It feels to me like I think if he got one more year in Chicago, he might make it. But I think he needs that continuity. I think he needs one more year of continuity. So it scares me, and I think some teams, is this idea of, okay, he's seen some gains, you know, he seems to be, and I think other teams are looking at him, like I'll give you an example, like Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh is looking at him and they're going, okay, well, they're not necessarily making this decision or this, you know, they're not struggling with this right now with him just because of the talent. It's not the talent at all. It's that they're stuck in this weird gray area between how fast the talent is moving forward and how quickly the contract decision is coming. And I don't think they, you know, I think teams know, like, the Bears are in a weird spot, and they're also sitting there with the number one pick in the draft with a player who's extremely talented, who, despite not throwing at the combine, I think came out of the combine with a remarkably positive perception. Teams, I thought, felt pretty good about Caleb Williams, having talked to him in some respects. I think there were a couple negative moments in his interviews, but, you know, so it's weird because he's, I'm trying to think the last time, maybe you guys can, you know, have a name on the top of your head where we saw a quarterback like this, who's clearly on his way out and, but has talent, you know, has shown some stuff. Because we can't say Breeze. I think Breeze had shown so much for the Chargers
Marcus.
By the time he was on his way out. Who's that?
Marcus.
Good Lord.
Marcus, will you stop it? Yeah, I don't. I just can't.
Breeze is a good one. I was surprised that they did what they did.
Yeah, but the problem with Breeze.
But Breeze is better than Fields right now. Breeze at that point had showed more than Fields has shown.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, by the way, Phillip Rivers is. I mean, he's killing them in practice. I mean, like, how long can you watch? I mean, you go 2 years and Phillip Rivers is killing you in practice. You got to get that guy on the field. And then remember, Breeze had the shoulder. He had that injury.
Right.
That was pretty devastating, and they had no idea. I mean, Nick Saban will never, until literally they're burying that guy, he won't shut up about how his NFL career had been so great if the doctors would have just let him sign Drew Brees in Miami. But, yeah, I stare at Pittsburgh again because I know the general manager really liked Fields coming out in that draft. I'm telling you that I don't think there's that much confidence left in the quarterback room. And – again, Arthur Smith, you have an OC that universally around the league, everybody when he was in Atlanta was like, that makes a lot of sense, like the scheme he runs and what Fields does well. But I just don't know if Arthur wants a guy. Like, I don't know if Arthur's like a big Justin Fields guy. So I can't tell you that the conversation there is not him going, yeah, great, he's got a lot of talent. I'm really not big on you know, when I was in Atlanta and everyone was talking about it, I wasn't that big on the thought of going out and getting Justin Fields. So, but that's the one team where I do think there's an alignment there in terms of the front office, really having loved the kid, loved the talent. And again, the scheme that I think they will be installing, oddly enough, fits Fields more than I think it'll fit any of those other guys.
Well, Charles, enjoy the beginning of free agency coming up here in the next few days. Thanks for being with us this morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely, boys. It'll be an interesting one next week. We'll be right in the middle of it, so look forward to it.
Absolutely. Going to be fun. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports joins us every Thursday morning from 8 to 8:30 here on the program. We'll react to what Charles had to say. Look ahead to NFL free agency coming up next. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. Appreciate Charles Robinson for being with us in the last segment. Joins us every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. We got some tickets to give away to see the Preds take on the Buffalo Sabres tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Be caller 5-615-737. Our phone, sorry, I probably should finish the phone number. 615-737-1025. Don't just dial 737. Be a tough start.
Try that.
Caller 5-615-737-1025. You win a pair of tickets to see the Preds and the Sabres tonight at Bridgestone Arena.
You know what number you need to dial?
What's that?
719-266-2837. It's on my Twitter account. That's the hotline, baby, if you need to pick me up. I need to breathe. There's so many takes flying around. They're so bad. And they all center around Stilly, of course. First of all, Jake Greenbrier tells me that he said yesterday that if he fell to the Titans, he's 100% trading down and not picking.
Talking about Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Yes, Marvin Harrison Jr. Meanwhile, we have the – that's beautiful take, Stilly. Chip from Mount Juliet is giving me the whole he's on the Marvin Harrison Sr., you know, mediocre. So he's like, you know, mediocre quarterback or wide receivers elevated by great quarterbacks, you know, which of them were elevated? And I'm like, so you think Marvin Harrison was a mediocre receiver elevated by a great quarterback?
Right.
He says, could have been. Look at his stats versus other QBs. So then someone's tweeting at me his stats when, like, Harbaugh was the quarterback for awful, like, you know, at the beginning of his career. First of all, early in their careers, receivers at that time in the NFL often took time. It was a terrible team. Yes, did Peyton
also
Manning?
His first year, he had 64 catches for almost 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns. So, I mean, right, wasn't that bad.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like we're talking about terrible. Right, right. The outrageous numbers happened. Were they because of Peyton Manning was great? Yes. And other skill guys? Yes. And a good OC? Yes. And good coaching? Yes. Of course. He wasn't playing 1-on-11. He was a great player. This is not hard. This is not difficult.
What are we doing?
My God.
It's been a day, man.
Oh,
the day with the takes.
And then we haven't even gotten to the Bills cap purge yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure Jared's mental pretzeling was amazing about that, right?
Just, well, they didn't cut Josh Allen or Stephon Diggs.
Right.
So it's not the cap.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because teams aren't so stupid that they would cut their very best players, the cap's fake. My God. Help me.
It was nice.
Serenity now.
And we know. We love our friend Jared. It was nice to hear him admit yesterday that it does look like Kansas City's going to sign Chris Jones.
Oh.
It was nice to hear that.
I remember him kind of getting after you for that one.
Yeah, I do too. It's okay.
Interesting. I'm sure there'll be a full apology.
The Legarius Sneed part of this, which we did not have time to get to Charles about, which is interesting. What do you think it's going to take to – if somebody wants to trade for him, and apparently a lot of people checking in on Legarius Sneed and the Chiefs. You know, he's obviously a really good cornerback. They franchise tagged him. I think he's like $19.8 million against the cap now with the tag. So if the Titans or anybody else is going to trade for him, what do we think it takes to land that deal? Knowing that you have to give up compensation and then sign him to a long-term deal, what do we think the return would be for Kansas City that they would accept?
That's a good question. I'm
not giving up a second round pick for him. I'm just not doing it. And somebody else might, and if somebody else will, then you let somebody else do it. If I'm the Titans, based on where they are right now, I'm not giving up a second round pick for Legarius Sneed.
See, I don't think a trade's going to happen because, I mean, the Chiefs obviously are, you know, win now. So I think they're doing this because maybe someone out there thinks he's the final piece. And also you want them long-term, and you're willing to actually give us a haul. But if I'm the Chiefs, I'm happy having him tagged and having him on my team and winning the Super Bowl next year.
Correct.
In part because he helps you do that. So I don't think they're going to settle for anything, and I'm with you. We talked about this on Jared vs. Joe yesterday. I'm hesitant on a first or a second, giving that up for him, just because
– I'm definitely not doing a first.
Yeah. I mean – cut it off at the second, you know. It's just a little rich for my blood. Is there a team out there that can make it work? Yes, you can make it work. But can make it work and feels like that's – like, is there a team out there that comes to mind that's close, but maybe that really good outside corner could be the difference, could be the – they don't lack for much, but that's what they lack.
I mean, the Packers could use
it. Oh, here we go.
Are they close, though?
Here we go. Well, they're in the NFC.
Yeah.
And Jordan Love, and by the way, we talked about this in the break. I don't really agree with you. I know what Charles is saying about Justin Fields and Jordan Love. Like, early last season, you still weren't sure about Jordan Love, right? So early last season. But, I mean, Jordan Love is – I think he's good, man. And I'm not just saying that because you're a Packers fan. I think he's really good. I think the Packers could be there. I mean, that's been one of their biggest
issues,
right?
They've had
some bad corners.
Right.
They've had some bad corner plans, some bad moments in recent years.
They have Jaire Alexander, and his back's hurt all the time now. So they need another corner. They're going to get another corner. The question is it going to be in the draft, or is it going to be – like, would you do that? But, I mean, other than that, like, who's a corner away that's a contender, right? I mean, look, Buffalo got rid of some corners yesterday. Would Buffalo get into the Legarius Sneed mix? I don't know. They're in cap problems,
maybe.
Cap trouble right now. So, yeah.
Oh,
who knows?
Ooh, really? Is that right? Cap, you say? Cap.
Is Diggs going to be there next year? Or is he going to force his way out?
I don't know. But they do have Mitch Trubisky coming in,
yeah,
which
I
proves the cap is fake.
But good for Mitch.
Yeah, good for him. But those two guys, Russ, because the thing is, that's going to – we're talking about all this stuff, and I think that it's very possible the Titans could be in this position. But those two guys, Russ and Fields, it's really fascinating. Cousins starts it, right?
I would think so.
But is there anyone that actually – I think Russ is in for a rude awakening. I do. I could be wrong, but, I mean, I just – between
– somebody who's going to give him vet minimum to come start for – even if it's a bridge starter, right?
But who? Yeah, I think you're probably right, but I still can't come up with the perfect team for that.
I still think Raiders is where he's going to end up.
Okay.
I mean, somebody in this stretch here let's see. So going back to that draft order part of this. Obviously, we know he's not going to be in Denver. You know, could – if Minnesota can't get their quarterback in the draft, do they take a flyer on Russell Wilson for a year? If Vegas doesn't get their quarterback in the draft, do they take a flyer on Russell Wilson?
And it could be both. It could be that you do, and he's your bridge.
Yeah.
And he's the bridge. Because I do agree with McCarthy. I think McCarthy could be good. I don't think he's ready. And so, well, I mean, look, I like the red shirt for just about anybody if you can do it. So something like that might not be a bad outcome. And then Fields. I'd love to see Fields in Pittsburgh give it a shot. I'd love to see him make it. I think he's talented. I think I have a little bit better opinion of him than you do.
Yes.
But I'm with you. He misses too many passes, and he's a tick late too often. And those are both things that, like, are just killers. To be a great quarterback in the NFL.
I think he's better than Kenny Pickett. So, like, is Pittsburgh totally abandoning Kenny Pickett? Like, that's another question of this offseason, too. So,
which is kind of fast to
do. I mean, it's fast, but
apparently, like, they're not big on him.
Are they giving up on him, or is this like, okay, you've got to do it this year, or you're not going to be our quarterback anymore? Is there an insurance policy that they want to bring in behind him?
Yeah. And it could be, I mean, you could look at it like a competition.
Well, I mean, going back to Russell Wilson, though, like, could Russell Wilson be the insurance policy if Kenny Pickett doesn't work out?
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. 615-737-1025.
Tough scene.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Be caller number one at 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal score for the Predators tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. That's coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And the shot of the score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. Call 615-737-1025 now. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are preferred so often. It's Pick to Click, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It's time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Preds back in action tonight at home. The final game of the homestand, taking on the Buffalo Sabres tonight. Puck drop 7 o'clock. Pregame 6 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3 the game. The standings and Preds Pick to Click. The listeners creating some separation. 14 correct answers. Joe Rexroad's been stuck at 12 for a good bit here now. So listeners 14, Rexroad at 12. Nick Kieser remains at 9. I am at 6 in the competition. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Josh. Josh, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click for the Nashville Predators?
I'm going to say the captain, Romy Josi.
Thanks for the call, Josh. Josi, this election, the NHL's first star of the week from last week. Josi off the board. Joe Rexroad, your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
Philip Forsberg.
Sure?
Thank you.
He's got a cut.
And thank you, Josh. Yeah, but where is the cut, by the way?
Don't know.
You think it's low. You think it's a skate-related
cut. I think it's low, but I don't
cut.
I mean, yeah.
It could be hand.
Could be hand.
It could be hand and, like, stick.
Could be.
Yeah. Well, he's been missing practice. He's been playing. He's been playing well. He's going to score tonight.
Okay. You don't want to save him for maybe me?
No.
Okay.
I'm good. Thank you.
Josi Forsberg off the board. Nick Kieser, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
Tommy Novak. I think he's due for a goal after signing a contract. So give me Tommy Novechkin.
Tommy Novak. I will go with Ryan O'Reilly. That line looked great the other night. So I think they'll look good again. They've got the Sabres tonight. Sabres are not very good. They just made a trade, and they played last night. So this is set up pretty well for the Predators, which I think – I know some people listening right now are like, please, no.
Yeah, stop it. Stop it.
Just saying.
It will be
set up pretty nicely.
It will be interesting. This is just this is pure psychology. But, you know, whenever a team is on a heater, and you know, the Preds are on in some ways an unprecedented heater, But and then you have that first loss. Sometimes, you know, it is tough the next game. It's like, I mean, it's streaky. It's a streaky league. But I think it's a big, big moment for this team. Big response needed tonight.
Sabres took Toronto to overtime last night.
Well, that's the thing, too. Like, you get to this time of year, and there is a complete, I guess it's basically like IDGAF sort of thing with the teams that aren't, that are just out of it. And there's something to that, right?
Yeah.
There's a looseness, a freeness, and teams like the Preds know they have something at stake, and that absolutely makes it more difficult, or can make it more difficult. Not making excuses. They got to win this game tonight.
They got to win the game, and then there's the deadline part of this too. Trade deadline is tomorrow. The trades got rolling pretty hot and heavy yesterday. Do the Preds get involved with that today? Be that a salary retention of some kind to help facilitate another trade? Like, does somebody call you with a good offer for Alex Carrier that's hard to pass up? I mean, I know me. I will be on morning skate watch this morning. Who's out there? All right, is everybody out there?
Oh,
everybody?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Is Alex Carrier out there? Philip Forsberg's not out there. Is he getting traded? Oh, he's got a cut. That's right.
Yeah, but that's the thing. The cut's that's a real handy excuse, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, boom. No, that's not why he missed practice. No, good. Get out there and take some.
Phil, we'll see ya.
Well, you.
Waive your no movement clause.
So we'll have you, Nick. We'll have Alex Doherty. We'll have Ann will be out there.
Yeah.
Who else? Who else is going to be? Like, you guys are going to be racing to take roll call. Maybe you could work together.
Maybe so. Might have to do that. Just eliminate by committee. I mean, looking for a couple guys like Carrier, if he's out there. I mean, look, the likelihood is, I mean, I'm still rooting for a mid-game trade at some point. Doesn't necessarily have to be tonight, but at some point here in the next couple of years, I need to see somebody pulled off the bench. Stop playing hockey. Go to the locker room. You're getting traded. It's happened before.
I mean, it's different, but it's like when Andrew Luck, you know, when Schefter got him booed on his walk out of the stadium, you know, in the middle of a preseason game.
Yeah. I mean, look, Noah Hanifin, the Flames were in, I think, Tampa yesterday, and it was rumored for a while that Tampa wanted him. I was like, well, he's
just keep him.
Locker room's right there.
Yeah, just keep him. Yeah, just walk over there, man.
And then, of course, he ends up in Vegas because everybody ends up in Vegas at the deadline, apparently.
God, the Golden Knights, I mean, it's kind of easy to hate them, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's about enough of this crap with the Vegas Golden Knights.
Their management is just like, yeah, come on down. We'll trade for everybody.
Hey, by the way, some NFL news. Justin Simmons.
Yep, safety.
Pro bowler.
Yeah.
$14.5 million against a cap cut by the Denver Broncos. How about that? Interesting.
That's going to do it for us today here on the program. We'll be back for deadline day tomorrow. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.